week we talked about chit. Chit means consciousness. So it is one consciousness which is illumining everything, which is illumining my body, my eyes, my ears. I can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, because of consciousness which through me, which arises in me and through my mind and through my eyes goes, and I can see the objects, I can hear them, smell, taste, touch. So the chit aspect, you know, because we say God is Sat, Chit and Anand. So Sat and Chit aspect were covered in the last two shlokas. In the third shloka it is Sat and existence. And in the fourth shloka it is Chit or knowledge or consciousness. It's a little high text, but if you have this text, you can read it. So last week we talked about this, that there is a substratum which is consciousness, and this world is a lower degree of reality, and the illusion I have that I am thinking myself to be this body and this mind and intellect, that will be addressed in today's shloka. And also he will refute some of the arguments of the other schools of philosophy. So we'll chant today. Kusum, you would like to chant please after me? Okay, I'll just break it. Deham pranapi indriyani api chalam.
Deham pranapi indriyani api chalam.
Buddhim cha shunyam viduhu.
Buddhim cha shunyam viduhu.
Stri baland jadopamastvahamiti.
Stri baland jadopamastvahamiti.
Branta vrisham vadinah.
Branta vrisham vadinah.
Maya shakti vilas kalpitamah.
Maya shakti vilas kalpitamah.
Vyamoha samharine.
Vyamoha samharine.
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Okay, we'll all chant together. Deham pranam api indriyani api chalam buddhim cha shunyam viduhu. Stri balanda jadopamastvahamiti branta grisham vadinaha maya shakti vilasa kalpitamaha vyamoha samharine tasmai shri guru murtaye namahidam shri dakshina murtaye. So there are different schools of philosophy which think of who am I. So deham, body I am. Deho, deho aham, deho ham. Some people say I am pranaha, pranam. Api, api means also indriyani. And some people think indriyani, indriyas alone are the reality. Other think chalam buddhim, this intellect which is wavering, which is constantly moving, that I am. And cha, when he says cha, Shankaracharya ji means all other schools of philosophy, Nyayas, Vaisheshikas, all of those, Sankhyan philosophy, all of those are included. And then he says shunyam. Shunyam was the philosophy that was very prevalent at that time, which is the philosophy of Buddhism. That we won't address today because that was very prevalent at that time. So Shankaracharya ji has given an entire shloka to address shunyam. So we'll do that next week. So shunyam means nothingness, absence. So viduhu, so these people know that I am body, mind, intellect, senses, etc. And he calls them stri, bala, andha, jada. So they are either women, children, blind or ignorant. I know somebody said, why stri balandha, why not purush balandha?
So I will answer that. I know this is the Devi group, so I have to. But we will address this topic, why Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji is mentioning Upama. Upama, they are like them. It's not that they are physically them, but they are like them. Tu means indeed aham iti, I am this deha, pranam, api, indriya, etc. And they are what? Bhranta. They are deluded and brisham vadina. And they talk lot of forceful arguments to prove their point. And that's what is said, that in those times these philosophers had so much power in their arguments that they were able to convince large numbers of people. So he says brisham vadina. And why are they deluded? So why are they bhranta? He says maya shakti vilas. The power of maya, and the vilas means the play of maya. So the play of maya shakti, with that kalpita, that's why how this whole kalpita imaginary universe is created. And in this universe, vyamoha means the highest delusion they are under. And who can remove that? Samharine. Who can remove this delusion that we are all under? So only the Guru and the Lord. So here in this text, the Lord Shiva appears as Dakshinamurti Bhagwan and gives this knowledge to the students. So tasmai, to that Shri Guru Murtaye, to that Guru Murti, who is Bhagwan himself, to him nama idam. To whom? Sri Dakshinamurtaye. Dakshinamurti was the Lord who was immortal. God is immortal, but gives us this immortal knowledge. So let us see one by one. So people think I am the body. You know, that is very common. And then we have talked about the pancha koshas, the five koshas, the body, the pranas, the indriyas, the mind, the intellect, and the senses, and the vasanas. So these are the pancha koshas, which all of us have. We have a body, we have pranas, we have, you know, mind, intellect, and the vasanas. But other authorities say we have more than five koshas. What is our sixth kosha? Our spouse and family. What is my seventh kosha? My dog. Or my cat. Eighth kosha is my house, my car, my business, my money. So we keep adding more and more things that bind us down. So that those are the koshas. So they said that there was a school called Charvakas, which was very prevalent at that time, which we even see now. But these Charvakas were the ones who said there is no God. And how did creation happen? Oh, just sambhoga. Man and woman met and creation happened. And same thing in animals, in birds, in plants. There is just meeting of male and female, and there is no God, there is no need for God, and there is no past birth and future birth, there is no heaven, hell, parloka. Yahi, this world is real, that's it. So khao, piyo, maja karo. So their whole attitude was earn money and enjoy. So you know there are four purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So they said there is no dharma, there is no moksha. Only artha and kama, earn money and enjoy life. And whatever you can see is real. If you can see, if God was real and you say God is everywhere, then how come we can't see him? So what we can't see is non-existent. So even my four-year-old grandson asked me, Dadaji, if God is there, why can't we see him? So same way, these people are basically at four-year-old level. So, and Gurudev, when this commentary said, it's not that these people were not smart, they were very intellectual, and a lot of them had studied the Upanishads, and they used Upanishadic statements to prove their point, and also they had done a lot of tapasya. It was not that they were just some ignorant people who just started, but they still were under this illusion that I am this body. The second is, people think body is there, but as long as the indriyas are not functioning, what is the body is of no use. So indriyas are essence. That is the highest. Other one says, no. Pranas, you know, pranas. Because if the prana is not there, the body cannot function. So So the pranas, the respiratory system, the circulatory, the digestive, you know, the prana, apana, vyana, samana, udana. So these pranas are the reality. Then others say no mind, because mind is there, all the emotions and ideas is there. So mind is the highest. Then the other school says Kshanik Vijnanavad, who say that the intellect is there and the mind is there, but there has to be a knower, right, of the mind and intellect. So mind and intellect you can put together in one category. So this Kshanik Vijnanavad, it was very popular. There was a Bhikkhu Yogacharya who was a direct disciple of Gautam Buddha himself, and he propagated this theory that when mind and intellect thoughts arise, there is a knower. And when that thought goes away, the knower also goes away. Then there is a new knower when a new thought arises. So constantly, just like the flickering of the light or like the movie screen is there, so constantly images are being formed. So then the question would be, then how there is memory? If the knower comes and the knower goes and the next knower comes and the next knower goes, then how do I remember? Like the yesterday's knower is gone and today's knower is different. So that was one of the very powerful philosophies at that time. And as I said, Shunya we will not address today, we'll do next week. So in the modern world also, we find that the same schools of philosophy are there. It's not only in Shankaracharya's time. Nowadays also people are materialistic, right? Body, earth, forget about, who's worried about heaven and hell? Has anybody gone and come back? Ever you have met anybody who said, I saw heaven? So why do you believe this? Some rishi sitting somewhere in the forest, he couldn't enjoy life, so he told us also, don't enjoy life, you know, just... You have to fear of God and all. It's a bakwas. And in the modern world also, people, that's idea is khao piyo maja karo, you know, enjoy life. Why? What is the need to worry? Others, indriyas, you know, sense organs, just enjoy life, khao, see the world, hear the things, you know, eat whatever you want, taste, touch, you know, contact, you know, enjoy the company of the opposite sex. That alone is real. Why you want to waste your time? Others, you know, the mind and intellect, they spend all the time in, you know, acquiring knowledge, going on the internet, researching. That is good, nothing wrong with that. But then they don't have time to worry about God. And talking about pranas, there are many people who exercise. Exercise is good, but their whole life is spent in that. They will run 10 miles a day, then run so many marathons, bike 25, 40 miles. Exercise is good, but then they work and that's all they do. So they don't have time to inquire into the truth. So same, deha, prana, indriya is there in the modern times also. So these people who don't believe in God, who are atheists, say that this world alone is real. And they do not believe in Shruti, Yukti and Anubhuti. We had talked in the Gita class also. Shruti means the scriptures. Yukti means logic. They don't believe in logic, because even though Shankaracharya ji, we will see in this whole book, very logically proves it, but still they don't believe. And then also in Anubhuti, they say, whatever I see is real. Yeah, but you see the sky as blue. Is the sky really blue? You see the sun rising and the sun setting? That is not true. So similarly, this world is, this changing world has a changeless substratum. So they say, well then, why don't these people, even though they were very intelligent, very smart, brilliant, they had done a lot of research, a lot of tapas, why were they not able to get to the truth? It says because they did not have devotion to the Guru and to God. And that is very essential for any spiritual seeker. Have, first of all, love for God, devotion. Knowledge alone will not take us. And have devotion for the feet of the Guru, whoever has given us this knowledge. In our case, because we are with the Chinmaya mission, it's Gurudev, Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda Ji, who It was his vision and his ideas and his work that has brought this mission, and all of us are sitting now and discussing this. We owe a great debt of gratitude to Pujya Gurudev. So here our gratitude should be to Shankaracharya ji, who has appeared in the form of the Guru, and Lord himself, Dakshinamurti, or whoever our Ishta Devta is. So without purity of mind and devotion, so whatever karma yoga we do, that is to purify the mind, to reduce my jealousy, anger, greed, you know, selfishness. And upasana is required to quieten the mind and make it single-pointed. And once the mind is purified with upasana, with puja and with karma yoga, then such a mind which is quiet is now ready for the highest knowledge. And knowledge will own, like they say, you know, like you can put milk only in a clear container. If the container is dirty, has mud, or has some sour things, the milk will get ruined. So same way, this knowledge can only stay if our container is clean and pure. So that happens through puja, upasana, and through karma yoga. And the one principle one has to remember is yat drishyam tat jadam, tat vikari, tat vinashi, tat heyam. So whatever I can see is inert. If it is inert, it is changing, it is destructible and should be given up. So whatever you see in this world is changing, is inert, right? There is only one consciousness. Even my body is inert. It is the light of consciousness which we had talked last week. It is the light of consciousness which is illumining the mind and intellect and making my body work. So there is one famous line which I would like you to write down and repeat every day. Ghatasya drishta ghatat bhinnaha. Ghatasya drishta ghatat bhinnaha. So the seer of the pot is different from the pot. So every morning get up and tell yourself, after you have done your chanting and remembered God's name and done the meditation, just tell yourself, ghatasya drishta ghatat bhinnaha, means whatever, the seer of the pot is different from the pot, right? Like the seer of the car is different from the car, the seer of the house is different from the house. So the seer of the body is different from the body. If I can see this body, then I am different from the body. If I can see my mind, see means, if I know my mind, if I know my thoughts, if I know my emotions, then I am different from the body, the mind, the intellect, the emotions. I know my vasanas, I know my tendencies, so I am different. So I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the intellect, nor the vasanas, because they are all known to me. Drishta means the knower. So like the world is known to me, I am different from the world. Also the body is known to me. So who is the knower? That is the pure consciousness, what we call as Atman or Brahman, which we talked in the last two or three shlokas. So that is the essence, that these people were deluded because they did not have faith in the Guru and in God. Now comes this controversial where he says, Stri Bala Andha Jada. So four people, he says, cannot get the truth. Now Stri, first of all, if you look at it, the woman is the most important thing that holds the whole family together. The family is held together because of the lady of the house. The husband, before he goes to work, his lunch should be ready. The children should get ready for school. Their shoes should be ready, their lunch. And, you know, and then also after school, what are their activities? Who's going to drop them? Who's going to pick them up? Then whose birthday is coming up? Whose anniversary is coming up? Everything the lady of the house does. If the lady is missing, the house falls apart. Talking about anniversary, you know, they also remember. So this husband was going to work, and the lady, they had been married 20 years. She says, do you know what day is today? So he thought, oh God, I forgot the anniversary again, you know, and I'll be, last year I was in big trouble. So he goes to the office, and tells his secretary, you know, I forgot my anniversary, so send the biggest bunch of flowers and with chocolates. And, you know, she has been looking for this diamond bracelet, so order it, make sure it's delivered today. And say, I love you, darling, you are this and that, you know, nice card, you are the light of my life, so send all that. So she sends all that, you know, and then the wife gets it. So wife texts him half an hour later, thank you, darling, for all these beautiful gifts, I love you too. But, you know, I wanted to remind you that today is the day when my mother is coming to the airport and you were supposed to pick her up in the evening, so don't forget that. So the lady is required to run the whole family. And not only that, but the woman's life is a life of sacrifice. Constantly they are taking care of their husband, their children, their parents, their in-laws, you know, father-in-law. So a woman is a very important, but what happened is that God has given her mamta, has given her a lot of love and compassion. And so for spirituality, vairagya is very important. That's why we had said last time also, vairagya, vairagya, vairagya. For spirituality, dispassion or detachment is required. And so this tree is not the body of the tree, but the one who has attachment. And men can be equally attached. Men who are very attached to their job or their career or their profession. Even when they are old and they cannot work, they won't give up the job, they won't give up the work, or their whole identity is the profession. So there are people who retire and then immediately physically and mentally they fall apart because their whole identification. So whoever is attached to things is stree, and it is the mind that is being addressed, not the physical body. So when Shankaracharya ji says he's addressing a person as a stree, whoever is attached. If you are attached to things, that's why Gurudev says, detach from the world and attach to God. So if you are attached or if you are dependent, it could be anything. It could be your job, your 401k, your house, your profession, your family. Anything that you are attached to will interfere with your spiritual progress. So Shankaracharya ji is addressing those people. And there were so many ladies who were great rishis, who were realized, who have composed Gargi and so on, who have composed Upanishads. And then also, you know, so many have held power. That's why they said Indira Gandhi was the only man in the cabinet. That was a famous line, that because she was the one who ran it, everybody else, or Margaret Thatcher, how powerful they are. So it is addressed to the mind of the individual, not the physical structure. So that's why I don't want ladies to be angry with Shankaracharya ji. That's not the point. The point is that whoever is attached to anything cannot progress spiritually. And you need clear thinking, then the ability to drop. See, if you realize that this thing is going to interfere with my spiritual progress, the ability to drop is necessary. If you cannot drop things, then you are attached. So that is what it is said. Then he says balaha. Balaha does not mean a young age. What it means is that one who is not able to clearly intellectually analyze, like we are now analyzing this particular text, and if you do not have that ability to analyze clearly, what they call as hetu and drishtanta. Drishtanta means example, hetu means cause. So cause and effect, and how these scriptures are written, and why there has to be a power. Because if they say there is a Big Bang theory, then how did the world come into existence? How did the energy come? So if you have the ability to inquire, then if you don't, then that is called balaha. Andaha, andaha does not mean who is physically blind, but one who cannot see pramana, cannot see the proof. What are the Upanishads? Tulsidasji in his Tulsi Ramayana says it very beautifully. He says, Mukura Malina, Mukura Vihina, Aru Nayana Vihina. Mukura Malina, Aru Nayana Vihina. Rama Rupa Kimi Dekhe ಹೀನಾ ಸೊ ಮುಕುರ ಮಲೀನ ನಯನ ವಿಹೀನ ರಾಮ ರೂಪ ಕಿಮಿ ದೇಖೆ ಹೀನ ಸೊ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದೀಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಪಿಟಿಯಬಲ್ ಹೂಸ್ ಮಿರರ್ ಇಸ್ ಡರ್ಟಿ ಮುಕುರ ಮಲೀನ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಡರ್ಟಿ ಮಿರರ್ ದ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಯು ನೋ ದೇ ಸೇ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಮಿರರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್ ತೇರಾ ಮನ್ ದರ್ಪಣ್ ಕೆಲಾಯಿ ಯು ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಹರ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿಂದಿ ಸಾಂಗ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಅಗೋ ಸೊ ದ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಮಿರರ್ ವೇರ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್ ಇಸ್ ರಿಫ್ಲೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ದ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಇಸ್ ರಿಫ್ಲೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ದ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಡರ್ಟಿ ಮುಕುರ ಮಲೀನ ಅಂಡ್ ನಯನ ವಿಹೀನ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದೇ ನಾಟ್ ದಟ್ ದೇ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಐಸ್ ಬಟ್ ದೇ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದಿ ಎಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಟು ಅನಲೈಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಫೇತ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚರ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬ್ಲೈಂಡ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ಡೋ ನಾಟ್ ಸಿ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ If you have these two things, your mind is not pure and you don't accept the proof of the Pramanas, then Rama Rupa Kimi Dekhe Hina, how can these people see Ram? Ram here represents the truth, the consciousness. So if you want to experience the reality of this universe, you have to have purity of mind and clarity of knowledge. Mukura Malina, this is a very beautiful shloka.
Famous.
So those are the andhas who reject the, they say, pramana, I don't need to study Upanishad. I have faith in so and so guru. And they will go to that guru. That is good. But that guru may have also got knowledge from the Upanishads. Where did it come from? So what we believe in Vedanta, that instead of having one person only, that what that does becomes a cult. It should be Guru Shishya Parampara that we had Swami Ishwarananda ji, Guruji Swami Tejomayananda ji, he learned from Swami Chinmayananda ji, who learned from Tapovan Maharaj. Like that, you know, the Guru Shishya Parampara goes on and on. That's why we say Sada Shiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam. So this, from the Lord itself, this Guru Shishya Parampara has come. So we have to have faith in that. Instead of one individual, somebody appears somewhere and says, I am the Messiah, and then you believe him. But then after he drops his body, then what? So this continuous knowledge is required and faith in the Shastras. And we have to drop this body and mind identification. They are like weights that are holding us down because we want to go up. In our spiritual journey, they give the example of a rocket. Like a rocket takes off from Cape Kennedy. Initially, it needs the fuel boosters, right? And zoom, then that rocket explodes. And then the shuttle has to detach, which they want to go to Moon or Mars. Then it drops the boosters, right? Because they are heavy. They are holding that shuttle down, and then the shuttle can fly on its own. So similarly, the body and the mind are required to do effort, to do upasana. But then ultimately this body and mind identification will hold us down. So that those two weights have to be dropped for the individual. It's a very, very beautiful example of how one can progress in spirituality by giving up this body identification and this mind identification. So these are the andhas. So we talked about Stri, Bala, Andha.
Jada.
The fourth is Jada. Jada means it's not their fault. They are basically dull witted. You know, some people are not intellectually that smart. And you give him Upanishad, he'll be completely lost. The others can still learn, even if the person doesn't have faith in the... One who doesn't have faith in the scriptures, he's useless. But say one who has a lot of attachments, and if they have faith in the scriptures, they can grow. Or if somebody is, you know, not that mature, Bala, but you can teach him. Andha, of course, who has no faith. But these Jada are ones whose intellectual ability is not there to grasp the Upanishad. And it is fine. So for them, you give them other sadhanas. They say, you cannot study Upanishads, that's fine. You do karma yoga. Go and, you know, clean the teacher's home. Or go and build a house, do Habitat for Humanity. Or if you are emotional, go to the temple, do puja, clean the temple every day. You know, the other sadhanas are there. So he says these four people are not able to grasp the truth because of these four reasons. Then they say that Brantaha, Prisham Vadinaha. Branta is the one who sees that this knowledge has this erroneous knowledge, and they try to solve world problems with erroneous knowledge. It's like you are sick, right? I am sick, and so I go to my neighbor. Say I'm not a doctor, if I'm not a doctor, and I go to my neighbor and he says, you have a cold cough, you know, take this medicine. You know, in India, everybody is a doctor. You know, a pharmacist is a doctor, neighbor is a doctor, your mother-in-law is a doctor, everybody is a doctor. So, you know, but then you don't get well. Then you go to a MD, you know, go to a medical clinic and you talk. Now, the way he diagnoses your disease will be different from the neighbor. You know, neighbor has just from previous experience, but then the doctor might say you need these tests and all. So, similarly, this Bhranta are like that neighbor who don't have the right knowledge and they are trying to solve the problem. That's why you need to go to a guru. The guru is the doctor. Just as we have roga of the body, you have roga of
spirit,
of this ahankar, this spirit, and you need a guru, a teacher to solve it. And so I was reading a commentary. He says, unless you have faith and unless you apply this knowledge, then why are you even bothering to study and make notes? You are just wasting stationery. You know, by writing paper and pen, you are just wasting paper. So the purpose of making notes is to apply that. Lata, remember that. Bring that in our life. Yeah, so that is what he says. Then the other point, the third line, Maya Shakti Vilas Kalpita Mahavya Moha Samharine. Maya, we have talked about, has the veiling power, which veils the truth. And then the avarana, where we don't see this whole world as God and we project all the differences. But what is Vya, Mahavya Moha? So I remember Guruji, when he did this Dakshinamurti long time ago, I remember he gave Mahavya Moha. So he says first is Moha. Moha means I've got up. Should I have tea or coffee? Should I have cereal or should I have, you know, toast? And then should I exercise or not? Should I, you know, sleep a little longer? So that is Moha, where the person doesn't know. Then Amoha is like a student. You know, you ask him, what is your major? Oh, liberal arts. What are you going to do afterwards? You know, they just shrug the shoulders. Or sometimes they don't even have a major. They say, I have not declared my major. What do you want to become? A doctor, engineer, lawyer, pharmacist, businessman? I don't know. So that is amoha, where they don't know where they are going, what is their purpose. Then vyamoha, amoha, so then is vyamoha. Vyamoha is, I do not know what is moral, what is ethical. You know, like our politicians and leaders, they are elected to lead, but what they do, they fill their pockets. So what is right, what is wrong, what is ethical, what is moral not to do is called vyamoha. So three categories. One who doesn't know anything, doesn't know career, doesn't know morality. But the most, see, these three are still at the level of world, prayas. But the highest ignorance, Shankaracharya ji says, Mahavya Moha, is not to know that I am this consciousness. To know that I am this body and the world is real, that is the Mahavya Moha. And other three can be solved, but for the fourth one, you need a guru. You have to have faith in the guru. You have to surrender to the guru, because our ego is so strong. Especially men have this problem of ego much more than women, where it is very hard for us to surrender to the teacher and say, oh teacher, only you can remove my ignorance. So that's what they say. Anything that you have of the world is called aparavidya, and that is necessary. We are not saying that you don't have to have science and, you know, take care of your family and your body and your health and your mental health and get knowledge. All that is necessary, but that is all aparavidya, which will keep you in the world. You know, a lot of people say, as long as I am a good person, I don't hurt anybody, I don't lie, I don't cheat, why do I need to study the scriptures? And we say, very good, if you are that kind of person who does good deeds, and then what will happen? When you drop this body, you will go to heaven. You, because you have been a good person, you will enjoy a lot of pleasures. But then you will come back and you will come again in a better form. And nothing wrong with that, if that's what your purpose in life is. But what the scriptures tell us, that you are not this body, and this cycle of birth and death, you know, janma marana, janma mrityu jara vyadi. So all of these, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. So see that how this birth and this growth and old age and death and all of these, you know, ill health will give you sorrows in the world. So anudarshanam, constantly be aware that the world cannot give me permanent joy. It will give me temporary joy for temporary time and give me some happiness, but that is good. But the final happiness or permanent happiness comes in a permanent thing. So that's what he says, maya shakti vilasa samharine. Who can remove this power of maya? Only the guru and only God. That's why Guru Swami, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Prapadyante Mayam Etam Tarantite. So Bhagavan says, this maya of mine is very strong because it is my own power. It's difficult to cross. So how do you cross? Mameva Ye Prapadyante. You say, Bhagavan, I want you and you alone. Mujhe ye maya se chutkara do. So through knowledge and through devotion and through surrender to the Lord, we can go beyond this this power of maya. So that is the essence of today's shlokas, that do not spend too much time in taking care of this body or doing worldly things. People say, you know, I want to have spiritual, but what to do? You know, my kids come and my grandkids come and then I get caught, or I don't have time, I have to take care of this and that and the other. Yes, we have to take care of all those things, obviously, but first of all, do them as service of God, see God in them. And secondly, take out time every day for some swadhyaya, some self-study. Read these beautiful texts that we have. Read Bhagavad Gita, read Upanishads, read Dakshinamurti, read all these. Gurudev has given a very nice commentary. It's a little high, Gurudev's commentary, so I'm trying to simplify that. So that is how this, especially this particular shloka, his commentary is very, very clear, very simple. So please study that. And that is how we have to go through this cycle of birth and death and get out of it. And even if we are not able to complete, as I have said many times, Bhagavan says, wherever you have reached, next life you will continue. But I have to make my goal of this life very clear, that I do not want another birth. And people say, you know, all these categories, I am a stri or I am a bala, then I cannot progress. They say, no. Are you a Vedanti or are you a Purva Pakshi? Vedanti means one who believes in Vedanta. Purva Pakshi means one who says that Vedanta is wrong, the spirituality is wrong. If you say I am a Vedanti, then it doesn't matter. The body structure is not important. What is important is your faith in the scriptures. Faith in God and faith in scriptures. And that alone is important. What your body structure is, what sex you are, what age you are, what your physical condition, what nationality, what color, what Brahman, Kshatriya, none of them matters. What matters is you have faith in the scriptures. So you say, I am a Vedantim, I've studied Vedanta, and that is my goal, that is my purpose, and that alone is real. And once you have faith, then everything else follows. Then a guru will automatically come. The scriptures will come. God's grace will descend. God says, you take one step towards me, I take 9 steps towards you. So God is always available, but we just don't have time. See, that is our problem. You know, itna busy hu, aapko pata nahi how busy I am, morning to evening. But if you call them on the phone, they can talk for 1 hour. So then, you know, that is the thing. So that is the essence of this beautiful shloka. Thank you very much. This Dakshinamurti is a little hard text, but I am glad I am able to study that and share it with you all. So my gratitude to all of you. Thank you so much. We have 10 minutes. If there's any questions, any comments.
Only his final question is on the third line. He said Mahavya Moha. Can you spell
that
again?
Oh, Mahavya Moha. Okay, sure. So, Maha, Vya, Amoha and Moha. So, Moha is, I do not know what to do. I get up in the morning, should I have tea or coffee? What to have for breakfast? Should I take this route or that route to go to the office? So, that is worldly problems, you know, or should I exercise or should I sleep longer? So, that is Moha. Amoha is the children like who don't know what to do with my life, or even adults, they don't know what is my, you know, you ask him goal of life, whether you want to become a doctor, engineer, lawyer, and they go to college, they have no major, they don't know what to do, so that is amoha. Then vyamoha is the ones who don't know morals, ethical principles, even though they are in power. When they are cheating or taking money or not following ethical moral principles, those are called vyamoha. So 4 levels, one who doesn't know simple things, one who doesn't know career, one who doesn't know what is moral, what is ethical, what is right, what is wrong. So all those 3 problems are at the worldly level, right? At the level that I am Anil and I have male and I am a body and this is what I am supposed to do. But Mahavyamoha, the 4th one, is the most dangerous because it tells me I am this body and this world alone is real. So that alone is the purpose of life. But the scriptures tell us that you are this Atman, this consciousness, and you have taken this body because of your past samskaras, because of your past vasanas. And unfulfilled vasanas have given birth to this body. So my goal of life is to realize I am not this body, I am the Atma, the consciousness, through understanding, through meditation, always live with that understanding. And the 4th one is the most dangerous because it ties me to samsara, to this world of birth and death, birth and death. So Mahavyamoha is the 4th one, which tells me I am not the ego, which also in Tattva Bodha and Bhagavad Gita, everywhere we are studying this idea. So that is takes me beyond this world to the higher understanding. So 4 confusions are there in everybody's life. But the 4th one is the most dangerous. That is what we have to overcome. Is that clear? Was I able to answer that?
Thank you.
Thank you for asking, because this, I remember Guruji when he told, this was many years ago, somehow it stayed and it took me also a while to understand that there are 4 levels of confusion. That's why Mahavya, Amoha and Moha, like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, Lata.
What is Chidabhash? Okay. Last week you mentioned I heard your
discourse
again, and I could not make sense of that.
No problem. So Chidabhas, what happened is they're called as the reflection of consciousness. Reflection, we think like reflection in the mirror. Like the sun is there. Now the sun illumines everything. Right? Everything is illumined by the sun. The plants, the birds, animals, fish. But outside your window, if you have a mirror and if you have a stone, the mirror has the ability to reflect the sunlight. So the sunlight will fall on the mirror and reflect into the house, And if my room is dark, I don't have electricity, but if there's a mirror, the sunlight which is outside can be reflected. The stone cannot reflect. So the mirror is the reflecting medium. So similarly, consciousness, like the sun doesn't say, I will only fall on the mirror, I won't fall on the stone because the stone is not reflecting me. The sun says, I illumine everything. Whoever wants to take, can take it. Right? So similarly, consciousness or Brahman is everywhere and is all pervasive. But why are we not able to experience that? Like a stone cannot experience it, but a plant has some life. Animal has more life, you know, bird, fish. And then humans have a more purified, more advanced intellect. Not purified, advanced intellect.
Sattva bodh ka batao na. So, it's made up of the sattva aspect.
Yeah, okay.
That is why it reflects.
Yeah, so as Neeru said, the mind and intellect is made of the sattvic aspect.
Of the five elements.
Of the five elements. So the rajasic aspect makes the organs of action and the ability to act and the pranas. The gross body comes from the tamasic aspect. So tamasic aspect makes the gross body. The pranas and the organs of action come from rajas. And from sattva come mind, intellect and the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, which is in the mind and intellect. You know, the organ of perception and hearing and all. So because they come from the sattvic aspect and they are subtle, they have the ability to reflect consciousness. So it's not that consciousness, even though we have the idea of sun and mirror and all, but the idea is that in the presence of consciousness, the mind and intellect gets life, becomes alive. And then when the mind and intellect in the presence of consciousness becomes alive, that is called Chidabhasa. So Chidabhasa is
the reflection of
Chit Abhasa. Abhasa means appearance, Chit means consciousness. So the appearance of consciousness or reflection of consciousness. Abhasa means appearance, Chit means consciousness. So Chidabhasa is the appearance of consciousness in the mind and intellect, because of which the mind and intellect get sentiency. And because the mind and intellect are sentient, then the body can move. Body can only move if the mind and intellect are working. But when death happens, when a person dies, then the mind and intellect realizes that this body, the mind and intellect along with vasanas is called the jiva, realizes that this body can no longer sustain me. It could be the person, you know, could be too old. Could be too old or could be too sick or could be in a car accident. So this person's prarabdhas are gone. As Neeru said, his prarabdhas are finished, his or her prarabdhas. And so this subtle body, the mind and intellect, along with the vasanas...
And the chidabhasa.
Travels and then the chidabhasa has no longer...
No, it travels with the chidabhasa.
Okay, it travels with the chidabhasa. Because the chidabhasa has nowhere else to go. And so then it goes and it stays in higher or lower worlds until the next body becomes available based on my vasanas and based on my karmas. So whatever body we have, it is as a result of my past karmas and my past vasanas. So the idea in this lifetime is to undergo whatever comes cheerfully without complaint, but realize that this is not my ultimate goal, this is not my home. My home is somewhere else. And so I, yad gatva na nivartante, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, so having gone, I should not return. And how can I not return when I become one with God? So then the Chidabhasa is the reflection of consciousness, which gives sentiency to the mind and intellect. And that's how the body is able to move. In the plant, the mind and intellect is very rudimentary. It is more developed in animals, birds, fish, more than plants. Then in monkeys, you know, dolphins, they are supposed to have a bit higher intellect, chimpanzees and all, and then humans. So in humans, the mind and intellect is fully developed. And it's only in human form you can get enlightenment. Even in devata form, if you do so many good deeds and become Indra or become Varuna or become God of wind or whatever, you cannot get enlightenment. You have to come back, become a human, and then only enlightenment is possible. So Chidabhasa is the reflection of consciousness. Chitta.
So the differences between the humanity is because of mind, intellect, plus vasanas or karmas.
Vasanas and karmas, both.
Exactly.
Vasanas lead to karmas and then karmas lead to more vasanas.
It is like the light is reflecting through the filament. How many watts are over that in the sky?
Right.
Depends on that much light.
Right, like she says, electricity is one, but depending on the bulb, it could be a 10-watt bulb or 60-watt bulb or 1,000-watt bulb.
Or the quality of
it. Depends on the equipment.
Yeah.
The quality. The electricity is the same, but the equipment can vary. Or it can be a heater, or can be an air conditioner, or can be light. So different equipment reflects.
So that makes us accept people.
Yeah, but you mentioned earlier, mind and intellect comes from the sattvic gunas.
Yes.
So that is offered to all of us.
Yes.
At that sattvic level.
Exactly.
So what differentiates afterwards?
Again, the humans have been given the freedom. Humans have been given
vasanas. Our you know, chinta. All the time we are thinking what kind of thoughts we are entertaining. That's why it's very, very important to think good.
Right.
Whatever you think, you attract that. And that is for sure.
Yes, so the right thinking, and that's
right,
the scripture.
Thinking. That's why we need to study this.
Study the scripture. But also the difference is that humans have been given the freedom.
Yes.
See, animals don't have a freedom. A lion doesn't have a freedom. He cannot say, I'm going to become a vegetarian lion.
Tomorrow.
A bird has to fly. A fish has to swim in water. But humans have been given the freedom whether they want to continue to live as humans or they want to evolve.
The rest of the animals live on instinct.
They live on
instinct. Just exhausting their
vasanas. Exhausting their vasanas.
Prarabdha.
Prarabdha. But humans have been given the choice to think and to choose.
Change.
That's
change.
Why Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna every time says, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, that will happen. And then he says, choice is yours.
Mm.
Even in the end of the 18th chapter, he says, I have given you this knowledge.
Choice is
yours. Do you, whatever you think. Yatha cheshyati tatha kuru. Whatever you think, you do. Again, he's not saying, I'm Bhagwan, so you have to follow. Or if you don't follow, you will go to hell. Nowhere. He says, if you follow, you will progress. If you don't, you will regress. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very well explained.
Thank you.
I have a question. So mind and intellect and all develops from sattvic. So from where the ego comes in?
Ego is because what happens is that the ego is in between body and consciousness. So body, ego gets structured from the body and life from the consciousness. So it gets life from consciousness and structure from body. So start thinking I am the body, but its ability to think comes from consciousness. So ego is an illusory manifestation between body and consciousness.
It just arises.
It arises. In Raman Maharishi, in Updesh Sar, he says that very clearly.
In Drig Drishya.
In Drig Drishya, Vivek, Updesh Sar, Sad Darshanam. That ego is an illusory entity that arises between consciousness and body. Actually, my true nature is consciousness, but this body is a structure I have been given to function in the world. So the scriptures tell us that, but when the ego starts thinking I am the body and does everything to take care of the body and acquiring and possessing for the body, then the ego strengthens. So you have to reduce this ego awareness and start thinking I am the consciousness who at this moment has been given a name Hansa, I'm a female and I'm living in Bakersfield. So all those are my conditionings, my attributes, but really I am consciousness. So ego is the illusory entity that arises between consciousness and the body. But has no independent existence. It is just a, it is like a ghost that has come between the two. And then it gets strengthened by possessions. You know, I have more. That's what even in Raman Maharishi says, that by different objects it gets strengthened. It eats objects. I have this, I have 1 million, now I have 2 million, I have one car, now I have two cars.
Ego doesn't like you to think.
Yeah, ego doesn't like you to inquire. Ego, if you ask what is ego, ego doesn't get happy. Because ego wants you to stay in delusion and acquiring and possessing, doing more and more and more. That is what ego
is. Doesn't like. That's why whenever you sit for meditation, you'll get 100 reasons not to sit.
Right, right.
That's
right.
Our ego putting the...
Yeah.
Ego comes in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question. You mentioned Shruti, Yukti and Anubhuti.
Yeah.
Can you expand on Yukti, please?
Yukti means logic. Logic. Like Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, you know, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, that won't happen. So logical explanation, and then Anubhuti is then by choosing what is, what do I experience? Anubhuti is my experience. So logic is logical thinking. That is Yukti. The ability to think logically that only humans have. So Shruti is the scriptures, Yukti, and then Anubhuti is my experience having applied that logic. We went a little bit over, but I think because I wanted to summarize for Simaji, so
okay.
We went 5 minutes over. But thank you everybody for attending and for your questions and comments. We'll see you next week. Next week we'll talk about Shunyam, that how this world came from nothingness. That was the theory of the Buddhists. And that was challenged by Shankaracharya ji. And
thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Hari Om. We'll do the closing.
Thank you, Hari Om.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukhavag Bhave. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Hari Om, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om, Mohini. Aunty, kaise aap?
Main theek hoon.
Welcome, Seema ji. Nice to you. Aap kaise theek?
Haan ji, aap San Francisco, Neha ke paas.
San Francisco the hum. पर कल हम किसी फ्रेंड के यहाँ रुके थे लंच के लिए तो वहाँ संस्कृत क्लास मैंने वहाँ से की प्लेजेंटन से और आज हम जयश्री के घर आए हुए हैं
अच्छा
हाँ तो यहाँ से हमने आज क्लास की तो जगह भी ये जूम का ये भी बढ़िया है ना जहाँ भी तो एक संडे की क्लास मैंने नेहा के घर से